This message is brought to you by Croydon Tabernacle, a part of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Our mission is reconciling the individual, community, and the nation to God. Be blessed as you listen.
So it's important that we also, even though while recognizing and coming forward to bless and to praise God, to also remind ourselves to speak and to share the words that will speak to the fabrics of our faith, the fabrics of our belief system. Hallelujah. To continue to remind ourselves of the purpose of our calling, of the destiny that God has assigned to you and I. And it's important that we continue in that way so that we'll be encouraging ourselves, irrespective of what may be happening around us. Because one with God is simply more than the majority. Hallelujah. And I can assure you that God that we serve is here and is ready to deliver you in the name of Jesus. So we'll just be looking, you know, at the rules and ethics of what is expected of us as Christians, as children of God, even as we continue in the service of God Almighty. And that takes us to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. Very simple, an appeal that Paul made to the people in Rome. And at this point in time, you know, the studies showed or revealed that indeed as at this time, Paul was yet to meet with very many of them. In actual sense, as at this time, while Paul got converted and was doing the work of God, the people in Rome had actually started their fellowship. And they were growing stronger and waxing stronger and stronger. And they were developing so well in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the fact remains that many of them were beneficiaries of the action that happened in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And so they carried on with this. While Paul started from Jerusalem and went on and on, at this point he felt, he heard about the good things that they were doing. And he felt in there to encourage them. And as a lawyer that he was, if you see the entire book of Romans, we'll see the way he did the planning from chapter 1 to the end of the chapter. You know, I'm not a lawyer, but I know when lawyer approaches court or when they appear in court, when they approach the judge, there's a way they put, you know, their cases forward before he gets to, you know, a place where they will say, I submit to you. Praise the Lord. And so we have here what we may call pleadings and counter pleadings. He set his letters, you know, in a way that will be convincing, in a way that trace their steps and encourage them, you know, where they were and the need for them to continue what they were doing. Praise the Lord. Lawyer will say, I hereby put it to you. Hallelujah. I put it to you that. So he put the words to them. He encouraged them and he reminded them of who they were in Christ and the simple act of obedience, act of what is or was expected to be the way of behavior. Praise the Lord. And so he moved from theological to practical. Praise the Lord. He was able to apply the word, you know, into their daily lives. He went back to basics. And people of God, if there's any time that that kind of word is suitable or best suited to us and for us, it's no other time than now. A time when the morals in the society are at the lowest of their ebbs. When you watch so many things in the social media, you know, scenario, in the things that has been, that, you know, goes viral, you agree with me that a lot of the morals have gone down low. Strange doctrines are being preached. They've allowed strange doctrines to permeate the length and breadth of the whole universe. You see man in humanity against man. And all this just proof to the fact that, you know, people no longer fear God. But that's the kind of society that you and I, as believers, lives. a setting whereby you are expected to separate yourself. To separate yourself. Just like, you know, Daniel in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself of the king's portion. Because Daniel and the Hebrew brothers, they were at a point, at a place where they were given opportunity. The entire tribe, you know, were carried to slavery. And in the midst of this poverty, in the midst of this slavery, they were identified and separated. But Daniel chose to differentiate himself because he knew the kind of God that he was serving. Those that know their God, Bible says they shall be strong and they will do exploit. Daniel 11:32. So that's the kind of setting that you and I, you know, have found ourselves today. A place where you need to consistently and consciously, you know, demonstrate that even though you are of the world, but indeed you are not of the world. Hallelujah. And so the Amplified MPC version of the Bible says, Romans 12 verse 1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you, of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. It goes further. It says, do not be conformed. That's a different theme, a different title on its own. So do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be ye transformed by the entire renewal of your mind. Hallelujah. So that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Which means all the things that we see, all the things that we see people do, all the things that, you know, we may be influenced to do, they are not necessarily the will of God. They are not necessarily what is perfect and what is acceptable unto God. And that was why he had to make that appeal, that having gone this far in our faith, in our journey with God, with Christ, it will be ideal for us to get to this level and take a decision consciously to continue to fashion ourselves, you know, after the manner of Christ. And he made the appeal because they had a choice. You and I have a choice. We live in a world where we are faced with choices. In actual sense, in Genesis chapter 2, God started with man and placed choice or choices before the man. Verse 9 says, God gave the man he created, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. God put the tree of life in the midst of the garden. And surrounding them, we had a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he gave them instruction. Hallelujah. So challenge came when the man disobeyed the instruction of God. And it was man's choice. It was a man's choice to disobey. So you and I we live in a world where God allows us to make our choices. And so Paul could not force them, but he had to make an appeal. He says in KJV verses, I beseech you therefore. These verses, I appeal and making an appeal to you. Because it's easy for you and I to be taken off guard if you are not conscious, if you are not serious. But the bottom line of what he's saying is that we need to constantly remind ourselves of the need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, not as dead sacrifice. And in the whole Levitical order, in the whole Testament, right from the beginning, we'll see how, you know, the Israelites, the people of God, how they were making life sacrifices, how they were making animal sacrifices of God. I mean, to God. And they were instructed, it was a tradition that they must follow. And those days we had, you know, the inner temple where we had the priest. There's a way you have to go about those sacrifices before it becomes acceptable unto God. In actual sense, the problem that the Eli's children, you know, had in 1 Samuel chapter 2 is the fact that they were competing with God. God says he's a jealous God. So they were competing with God. They were taking that portion of the fat, of the meat that belongs to God. So they were obstructing the life sacrifice that people were making. They were standing the gap between the people and God. And God was furious. So God does not joke with sacrifices. But what kind of sacrifice are you making today? Is it a dead sacrifice? Is it a life or living sacrifice? But above everything, because Christ came and put paid to the sacrifices of animals. Hallelujah. Because if we are to be in those olden days today, I'm sure this auditorium will not contain us. Because as Doc will come with two rams, will come inside, physical rams, will just pull them inside. You know, my dear sister will come with one big goat just to ensure that everybody comes with what is acceptable. And will come before the altar to slaughter it and to present, you know, the portion that God said. And those days, we had different kinds of offering. There was a wave offering. There was a burnt offering. You know, different types of offering. And you must ensure that you comply with the rules and regulations of making those sacrifices. Otherwise, they will not be accepted before God. But these are the things that Christ came by offering his own life so that we'll put an end to those sacrifices. And Christ himself became a sacrifice. So what Paul was saying to the people of Rome is for them to put themselves in Christ's position. Even though Christ had gone in the physical, but for you and I that are alive, that Christ had transferred the powers to, what is least expected of us is a behavior, is rules, is the way we comport ourselves in such a way that will reflect Christ's life in us. Bible says when the people saw, you know, Peter, when they saw the way he spoke, knowing that he was unlearned, they concluded that those who must have been with Christ, they saw something significant in their lives. And in Antioch, the first set of Christians they saw, when they saw the way they spoke, the way they acted, the way they were conducting themselves, they said, indeed, these are Christ-like. So the challenge today is for you and I, by our conduct, by our behavior, by our sacrifices, how will people say of you and I? What will people say of you and I? Sacrifice is total. And that's why Paul said, I appeal, present yourself as a living sacrifice, not dead. Because when you are alive, your life is no longer your own. You belong to Christ. And your life is Christ. And what that means is that anything can happen. You cannot hold on to something as yours. Because you belong to God. And if you are looking at the body, presenting our body as living sacrifices is quite, you know, phenomenal, because the soul, the spirit, they live in the body. And what the body does is an outward appearance or reflection of what has happened in the soul and what the spirit is saying. So your spirit man is connected to God, but here your soul, which is talking about your emotions, about the kind of person you are, directs your body to what should be next. So that's why it is important what you wear, what the way you appear, your appearance, you know, everything about you must speak of Christ. The spirit, the soul, must control the body in such a way that the body must react and present, you know, itself as the body of Christ. So we try and break, because of our time, we try and break this down, you know, over a period of time. But today I'm just letting us to know that indeed, sacrifice is giving. It is physical, it is non-physical. Praise the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, David had a choice or a chance to get a threshing floor from Arauna because he wanted to build an altar to God. But because he knew himself as a sacrifice unto God, he said he would not do that. Because if he had done that, the glory, the benefit belongs to Arauna and not himself. And that's why he said, no, I must not give God whatever will not cost me anything. I won't give God what is free of charge. It must cost me something because I know I'm a living sacrifice. Despite Arauna's entreatment, David said no. He had to pay a price for that because Christ himself paid a price for you and I. So a whole lot of the things that we do today, they are all well established in the principle of Christ. And the more reason why we must at all times have consciously think of what will Christ do, what will Christ say in everything that we have, in totality of who we are. We must remain loyal. We must remain obedient. We must do something that must bring, that will bring joy, that will bring happiness unto God. There are so many things that we need to look at. Hallelujah. But time will not permit us today. But as God lives and His Spirit lives, we'll have time to revisit this and, you know, break them down, you know, into different areas of the practical living, practical behavior of what we expect to see. But we've seen our progenitors in the Bible. They've done things significantly, things outside of this world that made God to pronounce His blessings upon them. We all remember what Solomon did. He did something nobody had ever done before us at that time. And we have the story of Abraham. We call him Father of Faith. Hallelujah. And we'll spend some time to discuss Abraham, but not today. But there's something he did at the beginning of his blessing. In Genesis chapter 14, Bible says from verse 18 that, you know, it was just coming from a conquest. It was coming from a battle that he had to fight because they took Lot, you know, away, and he needed to recover everything. So as he was coming from that victory, Bible says he met King of Salem. And King of Salem brought forth bread and wine, which were quite significant. Fast forward to today. And Bible says Melchizedek was the king and was the priest of the Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies unto thy hand. What did Abraham do? Bible says, and he gave him tithes of all. Hallelujah. He paid his tithe to where he got his blessing from. A number of us make mistakes today. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Because Abraham knew whatever he was, whatever he will become, everything was God. And that prompted him to offer the promised child, Isaac, unto God on a platter. He offered Isaac to God as a living sacrifice. And Genesis chapter 15, from the beginning, Bible says, and after all these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. And that was when he got the promised child. Praise the Lord. So God will help us as we continue and as we're going to present ourselves with that consciousness, even as we come before him on this Thanksgiving Day, to present ourselves before God as living sacrifices. And I pray that the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Shall we rise on our feet? I want all of us to just ask God to help us today, to help us in our walk of faith with him, that indeed the grace to continuously present ourselves before God in everything, all things of our lives, in our offerings, in our givings, in our thoughts, in our deeds, in our actions, in everything that we do. It's a personal thing now this time around. I want you to just commit yourself to that and ask for help today. Ask for help today. What God wants is a contrite, is a broken and contrite spirit. Except you are broken and your heart is contrite, it'd be difficult to be pleasing unto him, to live that life, to make yourself a living sacrifice. Ask that God will help you. This is a personal walk of faith with God right now. That the Lord will help you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We bless and we glorify your holy name. Thank you, mighty God. Glory be to your holy name. For we pray in Jesus' name. For we pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were ministered to through this message. If you have any comment on this presentation or would like to contact us, our address is 38 to 40 Parsons Mead, West Croydon, CR03SL. To speak to a member of our team, you can call us on 0208-688-466. Our website address is www.croydontabernacle.org.uk. Thank you and God bless.